Welcome to the podcast that is all about self-employment. We'll be sharing expertise on getting started, getting noticed, and getting it right, as well as dealing with getting it wrong. Your host, Julia Kermode, will help you get ahead so you get the success you deserve.
Welcome to today's podcast. I'm delighted to have with me Angela Ferguson, and she's Director of Employment Tax at Savory Champneys, which is an accountancy and professional advisory firm. Today we're talking all about the budget. So we wanted to get this episode out while it was still fresh in people's minds. And the budget took place, well, we're recording this on Friday the 5th of March, so the budget took place less than 48 hours ago. So very warm welcome to Angela. Thank you so much for joining us. Do you want to add anything to the introduction I've just given you?
No, Julie, that was perfect. Obviously, I head up employment taxes at Safris, so I have a national role. So employment taxes is my sort of key area. Happy to be here today.
Brilliant. Okay. And it's worth probably just saying that we were expecting some heavier tax changes in relation to self-employment. Those haven't happened in the budget, which is really good news. So we are going to have a chat through some of the budget issues that have happened, and they'll be probably still relevant to our audience. And our audience will be self-employed people who are either sole traders or working through their own limited companies. So starting with the limited company side of things, one of the big budget announcements was change in corporation tax. Mm. So would you be able to talk us through that and how that's likely to impact on businesses?
Yeah, of course. I mean, this was sort of the one sort of big news item that we heard in the budget, and I don't think it was unexpected. So we've obviously had a low corporation tax rate for many years, and what's been announced is that not straight away, but from April 2023, that the rate will increase to 25%. But quite importantly, for people, smaller businesses, we do have that small profits rate of 19%, where they're not exceeding £50,000. So that's quite important. And then there will be kind of a marginal relief for profits between 50 and 250,000.
Okay. And so this isn't coming in straight away, though, is it? I think...
No.
April is the time frame?
So April 2023. So we have a couple of years yet to prepare.
Okay. And so basically, if your profits are 50,000 or more, you will need to pay a bit more than 19% corporation tax. But if your profits are lower than 50,000, it's still going to be the 19%. Have I got that right?
Yeah, you have, yeah.
Okay, brilliant. And the big increase going up to 25%, that's for profits over what level?
250,000.
Okay. So potentially our listeners will be largely unaffected by that. Potentially, yeah. I'm just thinking, you never quite know who's listening, but I'm just thinking that people may be over the 50 threshold, but perhaps unlikely to be over the higher threshold. Do you know, is it too early to know if there'll be any kind of phasing between between the thresholds, so between the 50 and the 250, or is it a hard cutoff? Does that make sense? Is that a silly question?
I think there will be stages. So between that 50 and 250, obviously there will be a phasing of the 19% going up to 25%. Okay. So it's going to be just a marginal relief. The specifics aren't really out there as yet, but I think there will be that phasing.
Okay, great. And I'm sorry I'm asking you stuff that's not actually published yet. Of course, I've just remembered that some of the tax details aren't going to be published till the 23rd of March. So apologies for asking you to guess.
All right, we've got tax consultations day.
Yes, that's a highlight in Angela's diary, everybody.
Yeah. How sad.
No, well, I mean, I've worked in this tax area for a while. I get a bit overexcited about these things as well. Talking of taxes, well, actually, talking of profits as we were, what is this new amendment to how trading losses can be treated? Because I'm sure the budget said something about carrying them back over 3 years. What is that? What does that actually mean?
So I think in the past we've only been able to carry back for 1 year. So it's been extended to 3 years. But there is a maximum carry back of figure of £2 million. So obviously for the audience here, that should be absolutely fine. So there will be that extension there, which should come in useful. There is the thought, perhaps with the start of IO35 as well, that perhaps some people who were thinking about winding down their PSC, this could actually, you know, help out. You know, there may be some losses that will be made that could be crystallised and carried back. And that's losses up to March 2022, I believe.
Okay. And then when we're saying about carrying them back, I mean, I think I understand what that means, but can you just kind of explain in really easy terms, just in case I have misunderstood, because I'm slightly scared to tell you what I think it is in case I've got it wrong. So,
well, I think what it is, you carry it back against the profits of a prior period, which will obviously then reduce whatever corporation tax is paid. And you do the latest year first and gradually work your way backwards.
Okay, so say I make 20,000 this year, but then last year my losses were 50,000. So rather than paying tax on the 20,000, I can take into account the 50,000 loss and reduce that. Does that make sense? I think I've picked really poor numbers there, by the way.
Maybe. So yeah, if we've got, for example, losses this year of £10,000, but last year we had a £20,000 profit, we can obviously go back, and that's where the rules always have been. But if we've still got excess, we can go back even further now, just to allocate those losses to an earlier period, which will generate a repayment.
Okay, great. So in essence, if people's businesses have made a loss and then they're in profit, they can offset that loss against the profit to reduce the amount of tax they pay on that profit. Is that correct?
Yes.
Brilliant. So apologies for kind of being slightly confused there. It is a bit difficult actually when you're not involved in accountancy, isn't it? I think.
It is.
So I'm just trying to be clear for our listeners. I actually think that's a really good kind of initiative from the government. Would you agree from your perspective?
Yes, I mean, obviously they're going to have realised that over the past 12 months that certain businesses have not been able to perform, so there may have been losses that have been accruing there, and it's just giving them the opportunity that when obviously business was profitable prior to that they can obviously get some more income from refunds from carrying those losses back. And it will hopefully then enable them to use those refunds to move forward with the businesses in future.
So I guess it's probably a short-term incentive to stimulate business to kind of then in turn stimulate the economy and get us back on track. Have I understood that correctly?
Yeah, I think it was named as the budget for recovery that the Chancellor used. So very much so. I think it's just trying to give where he can to try and make a difference.
Okay, brilliant. And the in terms of that kind of recovery process, we know that he's extended the job retention scheme and the furloughing aspect of kind of what some of our listeners might be doing with their employees. Can you very briefly talk us through what the budget said in relation to that?
Yeah, so we've obviously been used to the new words of furlough for a little while now, and there's been various versions of this. But yeah, the Chancellor announced that the current scheme will be extended. So it was due to end in April, and it will be extended until the end of September.
Yeah.
So it's going to carry on in its current state until the end of June, which is basically the 80% furlough claim on all unworked hours. And then there will be a slight adjustment then when the government actually want employees to contribute. So they want 10% to come from the employer from July and 20% from August and September.
Okay, so then it's going to cost employers, but then the government is topping up to those levels. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. So that 80% will just be reducing gradually, you know, to 70 and then to 50. I mean, obviously, if things go as planned and come the 21st of June, I think it is, we can all get back to some kind of normality. I think that's why we've gradually just got this phase in, which I think is good news rather than a complete cut off.
Yes.
You know, in July, for example.
Yeah, I think hopefully the phasing will enable businesses who need that support to still have access to it. But also, instead of having a cliff edge that people talk about where suddenly there's support and then suddenly it goes, this does hopefully help people to get back up and running. I think that must be the Chancellor's thinking.
I agree. And, you know, if people have obviously been on furlough, I think people will want to gradually phase back as well. So if people have been on full-time furlough, they might want to look at part-time furloughing and gradually getting back into the workplace, just like somebody would do if they were off on full-time sick. You know, I think it is still it's still a shock, and gradually phasing back in, I think, is a good idea.
Yeah, and I think I do get a bit frustrated with the job retention scheme in general, because it does require employers to contribute to it. But I guess if it didn't require that, then the pot of money might have run out sooner, I guess, ultimately. It's a bit of a miserable thought, isn't it?
It is. But I agree that, you know, there's lots of money that's been pumped into the scheme there. You know, and it can be a tricky calculation to get right as well, but hopefully the new guidance will make everything clear for everybody.
Yeah, and hopefully businesses that are using it are kind of now relatively used to putting in their submissions. I remember when it came out last year, it was a bit of a nightmare because there seemed to be not enough information for anyone to quite know what people were doing. But I'm thinking people have got used to it by now with a bit of luck.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the guidance obviously wasn't there because it was brand new and everybody was trying to get to grips with it at the same time.
Yeah. Okay. And a big change that is happening within self-employment is off-payroll changes and the fact that clients will need to make decisions about IR35 status of their contractors doing work for them. Now, there was a reasonable amount of conjecture, as there always is in the run-up to any budget, that perhaps these changes that have had quite a lot of airtime, and we've got separate podcasts that cover them, that perhaps they might be withdrawn at the last minute, as they were last year actually because of the pandemic, but that hasn't happened, has it?
No, it hasn't. And I think the difference this year is because we've actually got all of these new regulations actually enacted in legislation. So last year, we weren't in that position. I still was telling clients, you know, be prepared, but never say never. I couldn't say it wouldn't be deferred because we've had a lot of late calls recently, and obviously last year as well. But it's very much obviously with us, and a lot of clients have been preparing for this quite well. I think some clients have still kind of buried their head in the sand a little bit, hoping it would go away. So there's still some work to be done. But the good news on it is really the revenue saying it will be a light touch approach. And we do have those first 12 months, which will not attract penalties for innocent sort of errors. They will only come down on those people making deliberate failures.
Yes, yeah. And I haven't seen a huge amount of creative schemes around this yet. I'm sure there probably will be some, but anyway, we sort of digress a bit. So yeah, the legislation I think was written last year sometime, wasn't it? So it is all there for anyone to get to grips with. And if anyone is listening wondering what on earth we're talking about, there is another 2 podcast episodes on this specific topic, so I can put a reference to them in the notes that go with this episode. But yeah, I think I did a search of the budget paperwork for the term IR35 and off payroll. There was no mention whatsoever, was there?
No, he didn't mention it at all in his speech, which was quite interesting. So yeah, it's going ahead whether we like it or not.
Yeah. So if you're listening and not prepared, you better get on with it, because it's coming in April, well, just over a month. We're now the 5th of March. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now what about the income tax and national insurance thresholds for those of us that are on for everyone actually?
Okay, so we have had some new rates announced. So they will mm-hmm. be raised, but they will be frozen for 3 years. So they're going to be increased from 2022. So the personal allowance is going to go up to 12,570, and the basic rate limit will increase to 37,700. The higher rate threshold will be 50,270. And again, so they're all going to come in 2022-23 and stay in place until 2025-26.
Okay. And so basically for anyone that's listening that's not quite sure, the thresholds are basically the points at which you need to be paying, the point at which thereafter your income is taxable or subject to national insurance. That's correct, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So there'll be no tax paid up to the personal allowance, which is that 12,570. Yeah. And then 20% tax is the basic rate limit. And then that the higher rate threshold will be when you go into the 40% tax threshold.
Okay. Okay, great. And so those figures, I'm sure, on the government website, and I can put a link to those in the notes as well, just for people's reference. So what about VAT? Because I know within the last year or so, there have been some conversations about whether the UK's VAT level is suitable. And I think I'm right that it's one of the highest within Europe. And I think there was a train of thought around possibly reducing the VAT threshold, but that's not happened, has it?
No, so not being a VAT expert, obviously not can't be overly detailed, but yeah, the VAT registration threshold has sort of stayed at the same level of 85,000, I believe until March, 31st of March 2024. Okay. But what we have had is that in the VAT world is some better news for those who are in hospitality accommodation. They've had this benefit of this 5%, and that's been extended until the end of September 2021. And rather than then going straight back up to 20%, I believe it'll be phased, so there will be like a 12.5% until March 2022. Great. And then the normal 20% rate from April 2022.
Brilliant. And I think that's really helpful for that particular sector, because they have been absolutely hammered by the pandemic. And I think I'm pretty sure that the VAT side of things will be enormously helpful for those businesses. So
as they get back up to trading as usual, hopefully.
So yeah, and other things within the budget were sort of more peripheral things around kind of fuel and alcohol duties not increasing, which I think, I don't actually know, but I'm sure they normally go up almost every year, so that's quite interesting.
Yeah, I think they do, and maybe it's this is more of a sort of one, you know, people don't really have a lot else to look forward to, so you know, an odd glass of wine or whatever it is at the moment is something that people might cherish at the weekend. So yeah, I think it's just general measures there to not hit people, you know, in the pockets at a difficult time, and obviously fuel, you know, people when they are getting back to work, it's perhaps just softening that as well.
Yes, of course, because we've all probably got used to not spending a lot of money on fuel, so it might be a bit of a shock to the system.
I certainly know that my car mileage has reduced a lot, which is great. It's better news for my, I'm not having to make a huge pence per mile payment at the end now, hopefully.
Yes, exactly. And then the self-employed income support scheme was extended this week, actually, and the Chancellor was saying that there's some 600,000 more people that he thinks will be eligible. What has changed there, just very briefly?
Yeah, so with this one, we've obviously had a bit of an outpouring with those newer self-employed people. So now we've had a tax return deadline pass. So the 2019-20 self-assessment tax return, the deadline was the 31st of January this year. He's now opened up the grant to say we can actually look at 2019-20. as a basis for calculating it. So that brings a new year in we didn't have before. We were always looking at the 3 years up to 2018-19 in the past. So hopefully now some people perhaps who haven't been able to benefit before will actually be able to get hold of the new grants, so that we call them the fourth and fifth grants. So there will be a grant which we call the fourth grant, which will cover between February and April, and that can be claimed in late April. And that is basically 80% of 3 months' average trading profits, which we can now use the 2019-20 year to look at that. And that is capped at £7,500. And then there will be another final grant, which will cover May to September, and that will be claimable from late July.
Okay.
With this one, we do have a little bit of a new test there, which is we can only claim at that 80% level where we can prove the turnover has fallen by 30%. If not, it will drop. The grant will drop to 30%, and the cap to £2,850. Yes.
Okay.
Where we can't prove that turnover has fallen by 30%.
Okay. It all sounds rather confusing, which is not your fault. It's just the rules are
quite
confusing.
It's a lot to take in. Yeah.
But I am so it's very positive that they are now including people who have just submitted their tax returns. And I think I'm right that if someone listening hasn't submitted their tax returns for the 1920 year, they are unfortunately too late now to submit a tax return. I think he put in a cutoff.
He did, and that was the midnight of the day before, you know, the budget, so midnight on the 2nd of March. So even if somebody was late, because we did have that relaxation, didn't we, in late filing penalties, so some people might have filed late, that'll be fine, but they should have filed by the 2nd of March.
Okay. And then it sounds like the grant later in the year is sort of intended to support people who genuinely have suffered a loss because of the pandemic. So if you can't demonstrate that drop in profits, then you might not be able to get as much money as you might be hoping. I think that's the essence of what you were saying.
It is, exactly. So that's the first time we've ever had this drop of 30% in turnover to think about.
Okay. And I can understand his thinking around that. I think it's massively difficult for people affected by this. And I think self-employed people, when they kind of compare the levels of support that employees are perhaps seen to be potentially receiving, I think they can feel quite aggrieved. But unfortunately, there's nothing we can do on this podcast to change that. We can only bring you the rules as kind of outlined, can't we?
Exactly. I think, you know, lots of different people and different groups have been trying to push the fact of there's been this disparity, but unfortunately we are where we are, and hopefully we won't have to talk about these things in future in another 12 months time. So
that would be so nice, wouldn't it? We can but dream.
Exactly.
Hopefully to help us get to that point, there was some interesting things in the budget around grants to help businesses get back up and running. And so these were new things as well, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. So this is for particular sectors. So we've got two different restart grants is what they're called. Mm-hmm. So for people who are in sort of non-essential retail shops, for example, then they can get a restart grant of up to £6,000 per premise. And for businesses who are in the hospitality, leisure and other businesses, they can get £18,000 per premises. So it will sort of depend on rateable value. So it's up to in both of those scenarios.
Okay, and I guess there'll be application details available online soon, if not already.
So, I've not seen anything yet.
No, I haven't.
But you would assume so.
Okay, great.
It does say from April, so hopefully that'll be there soon.
I know I saw on the news there was a restaurant business that was saying their fixed costs every month are way more than the grant, but actually they were kind of like, well, it's something. We weren't expecting anything, so, you know,
I think everybody will be desperate to perhaps to get back out. And obviously when we can, so fingers crossed these businesses will get what they deserve in future. But yeah, very much so the hospitality and those non-essential retail shops that have been severely hit with this, only opening up for quite a small period of time.
Yeah, I hope that when we are able to get back out there, I can't wait.
I'm going to
be out every night, but I'm not sure how long I can sustain that. But certainly, I'm hoping that these businesses will have that nice kind of boom, if you like, once we are allowed back out. So absolutely. Fingers crossed. The last thing I wanted to talk to you about, something I found quite interesting, and I don't think it's really relevant for our listeners, but hopefully they'll find it interesting too. And it's this whole investment-led recovery. And I'm not sure I've used the right jargon there, but it's a way of businesses reducing their tax bill you can tell us, but basically I think it's a way of reducing your tax bill by virtue of an investment you're making. But what have I understood that correctly, and what on earth is all this about?
Yeah, so for businesses on certain expenditure, you can claim capital allowances. And normally any sort of general expenditure might only be claimable at 18%. So on whatever you spend, and then that will be offset against the profits. So what we've had announced is this super deduction, which I love the name
deduction,
of that.
That's it. I knew I didn't have it quite right.
super deduction. So it's at 130%, and at the moment it's just expenditure on new plant and machinery, investing in the business. The actual details of what will and what won't qualify, I don't believe is really sort of, finalized as yet, but I think it is this encouragement for people to invest in their businesses in the future, so they are widening that out really to try and encourage that investment, I think, for the future. And not directly linked to that, I suppose we've also got the that extra incentive for new apprentices as well, they can invest in people. So that's been doubled, and we did used to have an age cap, but now for any new hires between April and September, there can be a grant of £3,000 per new apprentice.
Okay, that's really really helpful. Yes, I had only seen that this morning. Somehow I missed that in the actual budget itself. I must have fallen asleep at that point. Yeah, if you mentioned it in the speech, but
it's not the most exciting.
Well, actually, but it is. It's really, really important, because I can well imagine that some of our listeners working in their own self-employed business may very well want to benefit from that, and give an apprentice a job, and to have that funding from the government, I think is really, really good, isn't it?
It is. I think you do feel sorry. I do personally feel sorry for anybody who's leaving school or looking for a job, and it's a really tough sort of work environment at the moment. So anything that can kind of help with that, and this obviously hopefully will encourage people perhaps who haven't ever taken on apprentices before to look at them. The grants out there and they can be obtained. So a short time period between April and September, hopefully it just might encourage some people to go down that route who haven't before.
Yeah, I would agree with you, actually. I think it is really tough for young people when they're starting. I remember when I started donkeys years ago, and it felt tough for me at that time. And I just cannot imagine starting off right now. Any listeners that can fit in an apprentice role within their business, that would be amazing. It would make such a difference to that individual who would be doing the role. In terms of the investment side of things, so am I right that it's 130% that it would reduce the tax bill by? So if I was running my own self-employed business and I spent £100 on a piece of machinery, I've no idea what, I can then account for that within my finances as a reduction of £130. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
I chose easier numbers for that illustration,
well, of course,
by the way.
Why not? Why not?
Great. I think that's very, very interesting, because it's allowing your business accounts to value your purchase at a higher rate than normal, which it will be interesting to see how that pans out actually for businesses' accounts.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, and I think, you know, we might get some more details of exactly what can and can't qualify. But yeah, I think it's there to try and encourage people to invest in their business.
Yes, and you've reminded me, just for our listeners, don't go out buying stuff assuming you'll get 130% of it
exactly.
in your accounts, because we don't know, as we're sitting here talking, exactly what those rules will be. So hang fire, although I'm not sure people are in a position to go out on a spending spree. But
no, exactly. I think we have, there's a 2-year period as well for this. So from April, okay. there is a 2-year period there. So hopefully we can start to understand exactly what we can qualify for here.
Yeah Okay, brilliant. Was there any other key bits of the budget that we haven't covered in our very brief whistle stop tour of everything?
There was a few little bits and pieces. Where you've got employers paying for or providing, you know, the coronavirus tests. That exemption's been extended now into the next year.
Right.
And we also had a temporary exemption for where we had home office equipment reimbursed, because strictly any reimbursement would have led to a tax charge. So good news again, that's been extended now till April 2022 as well. A few just little bits and pieces around things like the van benefit charge and how we calculate car benefits. They've announced those new multipliers for anybody who has a company car or a company van. So they've increased slightly.
Okay, great. That's really helpful. Just to make sure we're covering off those bits and pieces as well. Really interesting chat to you. I sort of feel a bit bad because we had this scheduled and we were expecting to get, as I said at the start, in depth on some new things that actually the government never went ahead with. So we have gone through quite a few different things that perhaps we didn't expect to. So I really, really appreciate your time taking us through those. So massive thank you very much, Angela.
No problem, Julia.
Thank you for listening to All About Self-Employment, hosted by Julia Kermode. For more information on today's discussion, please visit iwork.co.uk, where you can also join our growing community. We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you did, then we would love you to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. We'll be back at the same time next week.